Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everyone, as you always are, on the couch. Today is always a terrific show for you. I don't know if you checked out my social media this morning, Twitter, LinkedIn, all that stuff. But we're talking about conflicts in our relationships. So let me ask you this. Do you usually avoid conflict in your intimate relationships? Or are you one of those kinds of people who try to smooth out your differences? Or do you have to be vengeful or get back at your partner in order to win the argument? You know, I have so many people who come in to see me, especially couples, when I do therapy with them. And it's like, well, I don't want to say that because that means he wins. It's like, excuse me? Are we in a competition? What game are we playing today? Huh? You know, you've got to realize that this is not a competition. Nobody gets to win a prize. You just get to grow up a little bit and learn how to argue in a healthy manner. You know? It can actually sometimes get to the point where we feel, are you ready, guys? Hate for our partners. I know, that's the H word. It's scary. Come on now. How many times have you said when you've gotten into an argument with your partner, your wife, your husband, I really hate him sometimes. I really hate her sometimes. Come on. You can tell old Dr. Michelle. Come on. You can admit to it. I don't care. Come on. We've all done it. All right. So what we're going to do today is challenge the idea that conflict between partners is not healthy or something to avoid. And you're going to learn how to grow up. Grow up! You're going to learn how to mature in your relationships. And also, you're going to learn how to appreciate each other's individual needs in a very caring way. It's really important to learn how to do those things. It's actually better for you and your partner to face your conflicts because it creates opportunities for profound transformation. It also creates opportunities for you to listen to your other partner, your favorite person, and really learn from them. At the same time, you learn about yourself. You learn about your own stuff and the way you play the games, the way you put stuff on your partners. That's what it's all about. And it's not a good thing, as you may know. Because playing games is dangerous. It's kind of passive-aggressive, you know. I had somebody come in quite a while back into my office, and I said, you know, do you suppose sometimes that you're reacting a little too quickly? Do you suppose sometimes you're a little too jumpy and quick to defend what you mean or defend? You got to look at that. You got to look at why you're so upset. And it's okay to share your anger. It's okay to verbalize what's going on and what you may need, but it's how you do it. It's normal to have those feelings, believe me, we all do. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And my on-air guest is a psychotherapist, licensed clinical social worker. He's done it all. Resma Menakem. He's been there and done that. Resma specializes in couples therapy, domestic violence prevention. He's also a former radio and talk show host who's appeared on Oprah and Dr. Phil. You've probably seen him before, guys. He's an expert.
Yeah.
He was also a family counselor. Yeah. You have been.
Yeah.
You know what blew me away, Resma? Is that you...
What?
You were a family counselor for civilian contractors in Afghanistan, managing the wellness and counseling services on 53 U.S. military bases. My gosh, what a job.
It was one of the most, you know, it's one of the, it's probably the toughest job I ever had, but also the most rewarding job. You know, what a lot of people don't know is that our military, you know, unless you're over there, you really don't realize what they actually do over there and what they do when they're in the war zone and what they have to contend with. And what a lot of people don't realize is that we actually have American civilians over there doing work on the bases, and they're needing services and support too. You know, life doesn't stop just because they go into a war zone. Life continues on here, and they also have to deal with the stuff and the dangerous conditions that exist in Afghanistan. So what I tried to do was to try and help people kind of get through the trauma of that experience without having, you know, a whole lot of lasting effects. So I did it for 2 years.
Wow.
It's one of the best things I've ever done.
Well, bless your heart. I mean, those jobs are, you know, not easy, and there is a lot of stress. And, you know, a lot of people need so much support in that environment. So God bless you. You know?
Thank you.
God bless you. And 53 military bases, man.
Yeah.
you're a superstar.
So I was responsible for southern Afghanistan. So anytime there was an issue, whether it be, you know, with attempted suicide or we got hit by the Taliban or anything like that, my job was to go and kind of help help the civilian contractors actually process through it, get them resources, and if need be, get them out of the country. Because sometimes when crazy stuff happens, you know, your system is so much in shock that you actually have to leave. You can't be there. And so sometimes I had to make an evaluation and make a judgment call that, you know, people needed to actually go home, get support, and figure out if this is something that they wanted to continue to do.
That's right. It really, and you know, the stress, And you know, the PTSD is, you can't even imagine how often and, you know, how many people have it and suffer from it, especially in our military. Yeah. So, again, you're the man, I'll tell you what. But actually today, we're going to be talking about your book. I loved it, first of all. It was great, easy read.
Thank you.
Keeping it real, yet yet straightforward in helping people, you know, about relationships and understanding that conflict, it ain't so scary. So your book's called Rock the Boat, How to Use Conflict to Heal and Deepen Your Relationship. And I think that's what we all want, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, you know... you're talking about, you know, we get into each romantic relationship for reasons that are precisely the opposite of its actual purpose. I mean, come on. We love those fireworks. We love that spark. We love that sexy time.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
That's it.
But
That's it. It's seductive. I mean, there's a reason why you get the butterflies in your stomach, and a reason why you get the googly eyes, and you can't think about nothing else. One of the reasons is that if you didn't have that, you probably wouldn't be attracted to people, and you probably wouldn't begin to think about, you know, settling down or building a relationship with people. So there's nothing wrong with that part of the relationship. The unfortunate piece is that we have this kind of fairy tale fantasy understanding that's the way it's supposed to always be.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's no longer happening, we think now something is mortally wrong with the relationship.
Yep.
And what I try and tell couples is, look, that part of the relationship did what it was supposed to do, and that's get you two in the house together, or get you two committing to each other, or get one person committing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now the next part of the and one of the reasons why we feel so attracted to people is not just, you know, the biochemical pieces. The other piece is is that during that part of relationships, what we do is just show our similarities, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
right.
the things that I like, the things that you like, and anything that's a little bit different, we blow that off and kick that up underneath the table. We don't land on it, right? We override it. We kind of supplant it and put it in other places. And then what happens is the moment you commit to another person,
right,
now all of a sudden the game changes. So what happens is that you begin to now feel comfortable enough or feel more secure enough to begin to show your differences now.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the similarities, but also your differences. And that's when people think something is going wrong. And what I have to tell couples all the time is, no, this is the next part of the relationship. This is the part of the relationship that will force you to either grow up, get out, or make your partner bend to your will.
Yes.
And so this is the focus of the point of relationships, of marriage, of committed relationships. It is a capacity building system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's designed.
Yes.
It is designed to force you to grow up.
That's right.
Oh,
that's scary. That's so scary. You know, as a psychotherapist and also licensed clinical social worker, I'm sure you've heard this story many times. You know, I have clients who come in and I hear this, and I don't mean to be sexist, guys. So don't give me any stuff here on the emails. Well, you can. It's okay. Bring it. It's cool. But I hear, you know, those fireworks and those sparks and all that fun stuff and that excitement and the butterflies. We've moved in together, and he comes home from work and he just zones at the TV and he wants to play the video game and he doesn't pay as much attention. I don't think he loves me anymore. And I'm saying,
right,
okay, here's the deal. Just like you said, Resma, that fluttery, fireworky, fun, romantic, wahoo stage, that's the rocket booster. That gets you into right?
I love that analogy. Exactly right. Yep.
Get you into the thing. Get you into whatever. Mm-hmm. The house, the regular thing.
Right.
But now we're getting real. Now that person's showing who they really are.
That's
so
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So we're taking off the mask.
And when that's,
yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go. Go ahead.
Oh, and when that shows up, when that part of the relationship shows up, people the piece that a lot of both people and therapists miss is that the moment you commit to a person, at that exact moment, you become vulnerable to
mm-hmm.
them.
Yeah.
And more of your choices revolve around what they will and will not do.
Yeah.
And it will force you to begin to, it will force you right up against your own adult developmental limitations. It will force you to begin to bring those pieces forward that you need to bring forward in order to be a fully fledged adult.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
The times, you know, if you have a difficulty with either confrontation or self-confrontation, or if you have difficulty with showing your heart, or if you have difficulty with softness, or if you have difficulty with being able to manage your emotions, there is no other place that's going to force you to grow up other than marriage.
Yep.
Marriage will force you right up against those pieces and ask for you to bring the better part of yourself forward, or try and get another partner.
Yep. Hey,
that's what it does.
Yeah. And, you know, I just had a quick flash here. Resma, do you suppose that's why a lot of men go, marriage? Ah! Because, you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, guys are a little scared to go there. You know, they're a little more frightened to, you know, lay it out there and share their feelings. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, Doc, the reality is that we all have both ambivalence and ambiguity around getting married. But the other piece is that we all have that little thing in the pit of our stomach that says, I don't know if I'm doing this right.
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to be the person that I need to be in the context of that. And I think for men in particular, it's hard for men to understand that sometimes when you get into a marriage, you're not going to have all of the answers at the beginning. That's not that.
That's right.
That's marriage. Marriage will make you. So I always say this to couples. There's only one thing that makes you ready for marriage. Do you know what that is, Dot?
No.
Marriage.
That's right.
Marriage is the only thing that makes you ready for marriage. Because you have no idea.
That's right.
what your limitations are. And one of the reasons why is because most of us approach our most of our limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Are
yes.
wrapped inside of a virtue.
Yep.
That's why we can't see them.
Yep.
Because it's we're true. Coming at it from such a virtuous side, but our partner is experiencing the limitations of it.
Yes.
That's why the call to mature is so important in relationships, is because it forces you to grow up in ways that only the pressure and the heat of a relationship or a committed relationship can force you to do.
Mm-hmm. Boy, is that true. You've got that right. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, amazing man, been there and done that, been on Oprah, of course, Dr. Phil, around the world helping people. Wonderful expert in relationships, communication, and basically what I call keeping it real to get healthy with your significant other. Rezma Menakem, he's the author of his latest book. It's called Rock the Boat. I always think of that song, starts going on in my head. Rock the boat.
Yeah.
How to use conflict.
Rock the boat, baby.
That's it. How to use conflict to heal and deepen your relationship. And I invite you guys to respond. If you have any questions for Rezma today, feel free to give us a shout here at 323-203-0815. Or if you're shy and you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can, you know, use a different name, or you don't even have to use your name. It's all good. Really, you can email me here live, docmichelle@aol.com. DocMichelle with two L's at AOL.com. Questions or comments. Love to hear from you guys. And, you know, we'll help you out a little bit. So we get the wake-up call, Rezma. Wake up! It's
right.
Just hold your nose and jump in to that pool of marriage. Just hold your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Now, why is having friction so good in a relationship? And what are some of the most common mistakes that couples do to harm their relationships?
Yeah. So one of the reason why friction is important, and let me be clear, when I'm talking about friction, I'm not talking about domestic violence.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I'm not talking about somebody who has an abusive attitude. That's
not what
I'm talking about.
No,
I'm talking about, see, there's two different types of things that heat can do in a relationship, or that heat can do. Heat can cook something, and it can burn something.
Mm, yes.
And I'm talking about the friction that involves heat that cooks.
Mm.
And that type of heat is usually tied to people's integrity. That's why it's not easy for people to get over it. That's why you keep having the same arguments over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's because many times the things that you're arguing about or having difficulty about are important, and they're usually tied to people's sense of integrity.
Yeah.
That's why you can't get rid of it. That's why, you know this, Dr. Michelle, the four things that get people divorced are money, sex, kids, and in-laws, right?
Yep. Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And usually a combination of those things. And so what happens is that those you can't. So when you're having the friction, sometimes the friction is about the important things in our lives and the things that matter. Sometimes they're about our trauma. Sometimes they're about other things. But most of the time, they're about the important things.
Right.
So you can't agree to disagree to have sex with somebody.
Yeah, right? That's right.
You can't blow that off. You're either going to have sex with somebody or you're not going to have sex.
Right.
And when you have those fights around that, those are important fights to have.
Mm-hmm.
You can't disagree to have half a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have those fights, and those are important
yes.
fights
yeah.
that force you to begin to make choices about who you want to be, who you want to be with, and how you want to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the mistakes that people make is they keep clinging to the fantasy that it's their partner's job to soothe them and take care of them.
Yeah.
That's one of the most important damaging things that I see in relationships is that people think that it is my wife's job to take care of me when I am immature. When she is looking at me, one of the reasons why people have some of these difficulties is because trust starts to leave the relationship way before there's any demonstrative sign. So
right.
So people think, well, trust starts to happen when people start to lose trust when there's an affair. People start to lose trust when there's, you know, something egregious that happens. And what I say is that in actuality, trust actually leaves the relationship when you look at your partner. And they refuse to take themselves on about something that they need to grow up about,
right?
Grow up around.
Right.
And so when you start looking at them and they constantly refuse to grow up, what begins to happen is you begin to say, well, if you can't even take yourself on, how am I going to give you my heart?
Right.
I can't trust you with my heart. So we begin to do things to try and hide from the vulnerability of being in a committed relationship, whether that be sexual, whether that be spiritual, whatever it is,
right.
We begin to hide parts of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is that when that's going on, nothing's going wrong. It is the call for you to begin to make choices about how you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when you only have a finite choice between you and your partner, when you have a choice, you either have to grow up or you stay immature.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That's a great explanation. I just received a quick email, which I thought was kind of funny. I'm just going to throw this in there because it's sort of relevant to what you were just talking about, Resma. this is from Kevin. And I'm not laughing at you, Kevin. I think it's kind of funny. And I think he sent this to me to be funny. But it sounds like it's a real deal here. It says, hey, Doc and Resma. Great show. My wife and I get into fights, I think, on purpose so that we can have great makeup sex. Is that sick or what? I don't know. I'm putting, hey, you know what? This is yours, Resma. Is that sick or what?
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, you know, without knowing, like, you know, how long they've been together, what this is, I mean, they could be newlyweds. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But over here's what will happen, and what I've seen happen with that pattern,
mm-hmm.
is that eventually your partner will want more from you than sex. Right?
Right.
They will require you to grow up in ways that sex will not be able to remedy.
Right.
And that's when you have to really begin to draw on resources that are other than sex. Look, I like makeup sex as much as the next person.
Sure.
But I am not full. I understand what it is.
Right.
I understand that makeup sex is not a cure for growing up, that just because we've been able to feel good about, you know, this particular moment,
right.
Does not mean that we're not going to come back around this. And so if I am having, if I'm purposely picking fights with my wife in order for us to have makeup sex, the question I have to ask myself is, what is it that I'm trying to avoid,
right,
that would allow us to maybe even have a deeper sense of our relationship rather than just the sexual pieces. So I can't answer if it's sick or not. What I would say is you want to pay attention to the pattern and whether or not that pattern is allowing you to go through what you need to go through or go around it.
Oh, right. Good answer, Resma. So hopefully, Kevin, you heard that. Because, I mean, no, you're right on. Exactly. And, you know, going back to the old behaviorist Pavlov's dog therapy, you know, the deal is that every time if you feel you get into the pattern that you have to have this crazy conflict drama in order to have great sex, then your brain starts getting trained to, find something to fight about, because then we're going to have this wonderful release of endorphins and great sex. And it's not going to be all that great if we're getting along.
That's right. The call to grow and develop and evolve can be, even though it feels good, the makeup sex can actually be a defense to actually getting deeper. So one of the things that I found with especially long term couples is that over time, sex and the relationship becomes boring.
And
that's the thing that I always say is that when it becomes boring, the boringness is actually is a function of stability. So in relationships we have these two energies. One is more of a stability energy, and the other one is a growth oriented energy. Most of us get in relationships because we want that stability. What we don't realize is that stability over time will push you to begin there will be a call for growth. Right. You want stability, but there's also this piece in terms of growth. And if you don't have friction, you will have ways of bringing new stuff to the relationship will become boring because you're not bringing anything new to it. So the boredom that most couples experience in relationships is not defective. It doesn't necessarily mean that something's defective in your relationship. Mm-hmm. It simply means that you must draw on resources and begin to figure out what are the things that you readily gave up in the relationship at the beginning that either made you uncomfortable, made your partner uncomfortable, and that therefore you decided that you weren't going to bring it up anymore. Well, in order to get that relationship moving sometimes you actually have to bring the things up that you readily gave up that made the relationship calm and stable, right? You gave it up because you didn't want to deal with this stuff. Yeah. But in order to get the relationship moving again, sometimes what you got to do is bring that stuff back up so you can begin to start the cooking heat again so you can move through those pieces and grow up.
Boy, is that true. Great stuff here. Yep. By the way, guys, if you want to email me or, you know, give us a call, that's cool, too. Like a lot of your emails because they're a little more detailed here and we can, you know, help you with your issues. DocMichelle@AOL.com, DocMichelle with two L's at AOL.com. My special guest on the air today is a licensed psychotherapist, licensed clinical social worker, media expert, Resma Menakem. We're talking about his latest book. It's called Rock the Boat, How to Use Conflict to Heal and Deepen Your Relationship, which really is a proven theories. He's an expert and he's going to help you out. The book is a great read, very smooth, and he keeps it real as well, which I really appreciate. So, you know, you were just talking about when our relationships, you know, reach a certain point, and that, you know, kind of forces us to grow up a little bit. And you talk about the point in a relationship in your book, which you call, I love it, critical mass. It's the critical mass. What is that? What is that?
So critical mass is the point in which you reach in a relationship where there's actually enough energy where you created enough energy in the relationship where there can actually be a substantive change, right?
Right.
To where there's enough mass, enough history to where you look at your partner, your partner looks at you, and there's enough key to where one of you says to the other, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know I'm not doing this no more.
Mm-hmm.
I know this right here is enough. I love you. I don't want a divorce. Well, I love you and I don't want to break up, but this right here has got to change.
Mm-hmm.
That usually happens when people reach critical mass. People think that critical mass is when you reach divorce. And so what I say is that there's a point in critical mass where there is a possibility of both. It's the two P's.
Right.
The possibility of peril and the possibility of progress.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And those usually happen at the same point where you could either make a choice to progress forward or make a choice to blow the relationship and have peril in terms of the relationship. But but most of us want to avoid that. And so we keep doing things over and over and over again throughout the years to avoid getting to that space, avoid getting to a place to where you actually have to make a choice about, not a choice between, see, most of us want a choice between pain and no pain.
Right.
We want a choice between pain and no pain, right?
Right.
And most of us want no pain.
Sure.
And what I say is that in committed relationships, you usually don't have that choice. In committed relationships, you usually have the choice between clean pain and dirty pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So what's clean pain?
And you know,
What is clean pain? What is clean?
So clean pain is that pain that you have when you stand up and you take something on either in yourself or in your relationship, and you self-confront, and you know your partner doesn't want to hear it, and you bring it up anyway, and you move forward on it anyway, and you hold on to your integrity, you soothe yourself down, and you move through it. That's clean pain. Dirty pain is that pain that you have when you know you should be standing up, when you know you should be doing other things, and you refuse to do it. And many of us are more familiar with dirty pain than it is clean pain. And critical mass is the point at which people begin to brighten and straighten their spine and say, okay, I have been doing this to myself. Yes, it's been happening in the relationship, but I've been doing this to myself for years and years.
Right.
And I am going to unilaterally make a decision to grow up. And I know my partner doesn't want to hear it. I know they don't like it, because if they did, we'd already be addressing it. We'd already be doing it, right?
Yeah.
And so I have to learn how to soothe myself and validate myself at the same time I'm connected to this person that means the world to me.
Right.
And so how do I hold on to myself and still come forward unilaterally, not because my partner is supporting me through it, but because I have to in order to grow up.
Right.
And so that's critical mass. Critical mass, all relationships reach critical mass and over and over and over again. And what happens is that some people take it on and some people just say, well, you know what? I'm just going to give myself up. And we're just, a lot of people have marriages in which they have never chosen the other person. They've had babies, they've together for 30 years, they raise children, but they have never either chosen the other person or have been chosen. And so when that happens, the you could either give yourself up and just say, I'm going to go along to get along and just deal with it. Or when that call of critical mass reaches its zenith, you actually answer the call.
Mm-hmm. That is really well said. Right here on the couch, Dr. Michelle, my special guest today. Whoa, the man, Resmaa Menakem. He's talking about his latest book, Rock the Boat. It's how to use conflict to heal and deepen your relationship. And we have several emails coming in. And I wanted to, because this is perfect, because I was going to ask you about this in a little bit. And I talked about it at the beginning of the show, Resmaa. So this is from Cheryl, and she says, hey, sometimes I hate my husband. Is this not good? And how can I help get rid of this feeling? Thank you so much, girl. That was a good one.
That was a good one. You know, okay. You know, Dr. Michelle, we talked a little bit about this before we got on the air.
And, yep.
You know, this is one of those things, you know, when I'm working with couples, I address this piece head on. Mm. Because you get people come in. See, most people come into couples therapy not because they want the relationship better. Most people come into therapy because they want to be able to pay you $150, $200 an hour so you can figure out another way to help them around this stuff.
Right, right? Exactly.
They don't want to go through it. They figure, hey, if I need some other ways around it, so they're willing to pay $150, $200 to do that.
And one
of the things I have to tell couples a lot is when they come in and talk about, you know, I just wish this particular thing would change. You know, I really love my wife, and you know, I just hate what she does.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I really love my husband, but I just hate what they do. Mm-hmm. And I actually hit that head on. I say, you know what, we're gonna have a very difficult time in therapy if we can't admit that there are times you look at your partner and you go, you know what, I hate you. I hate you.
Ouch.
I mean, searingly.
Yeah.
I hate you. Yeah. And part of the hatred comes from being vulnerable to that person. More of your life revolves around what they will and will not do. And so that hatred is something that I really encourage couples to begin to actually look at and grapple with.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you keep kicking that up under the table and you keep trying to placate it, well, you know, I just hate this or I just hate that, without understanding that there is, for some of us, this hatred is sometimes is misplaced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
yes.
it's from other things that
sure.
that you should have worked
oh, yeah.
through. But
sure.
if you refuse to acknowledge it, you won't even be able to get at it.
That's
so
right.
in answer to her question, sometimes you may need a therapist, somebody outside mm-hmm. of you
mm-hmm.
to help you work through that hatred. But you need to find a therapist who is strong enough and has enough kind of steel in their spine enough that they can actually hold and contain that type of heat
right.
in a couple sessions. Because some therapists act like they're made of 10-gauge steel and they're actually only made of 10.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they can't handle that level of heat when people start to acknowledge it and say, yeah, this is what I'm saying.
Right.
But there can be a cleanness
yes.
to acknowledging that and saying there is this thing in my belly,
mm-hmm.
this hatred that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm saying it, I also realize that this is a hatred that I've had with all of my boyfriends or all of my girlfriends
yep.
or all of my partners.
Yep.
And maybe it's not particular to my partner,
mm-hmm.
but maybe it's particular to the level of vulnerability that I feel in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I need to work this through.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can't acknowledge hatred in relationships, it's not an either or, it's a both and. Most of us want, like, okay, either I love my partner or I hate my partner. And most of the times it's a both and. It's both I love them more than anything on this earth and I hate them.
Yes.
And not that I just like them. Dr.
Yeah.
Michelle, you know when you look at your partner and you go, I really can't stand your butt. I mean, we've all been there. If you've been in a relationship any amount of times, you just, and you know when your partner's looking at you like that.
Oh, exactly.
In the resonance field, you get the vibes and the signals that,
yeah,
oh, this ain't that normal stuff. This
no,
is something else.
That's exactly right. And I know you probably do this, as we all do as therapists.
Yeah.
When we're having disagreements with our partners, or they're saying something or doing that thing that they do that drives us bonkers, you know, as therapists, sometimes we look through those eyes of, don't project your mama stuff onto me, dude. I'm not your mama. Don't you say that. I'm not your daddy.
I'm not doing this with you.
You know, clean
you
that shit up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why didn't you clean that stuff up before you got with me? You know, and that's another thing. You know, we've got to encourage couples to clean up their individual stuff, like you talked about earlier. Because sometimes when people come in to see me, and I'm sure this happens with you a lot, they're on good behavior. I say, I want you to sit here and talk to each other like the way you talk to each other in the privacy of your own environment, and don't put on any airs for me. I want you to just go and do it. And I'm just like, whoa. But that way we get a real feel for what they're projecting onto their other partner from their own stuff that has not been cleaned up. So,
but you know, one of the things about us as therapists, the reality is that a lot of this stuff they can't clean up by themselves because there's not enough heat. Remember, I talked about critical mass.
Sure, sure.
They don't, that this stuff doesn't even show up until they get into a committed relationship. That's why when they're by themselves, they look like the golden child.
Yes.
Right? Because then that's why when they're dating all of these men or all of these women, that's why they look like the golden child, is because the heat, the cooking heat, is not present because they have infinite choices.
Right.
It's only when you make a commitment that the cooking heat shows up. So a lot of times the reason why they can't clean it up is because it's not present.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It is so true.
Yeah.
Well said, man.
Yeah.
You know, you also suggest in your book, Rock the Boat, that the question each of us needs to ask ourselves is, how can I learn to tolerate, now that we're moving on here, the messages my partner gives me that I don't like? And you specifically in your book about five anchors that can help us do this. So what are those anchors?
So there are these. Remember I said earlier about how we always look for our partner to soothe us down at the very time that our partner basically emotionally trying to hold on with the skin of their teeth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the most important parts, one of the most important anchors, is the ability to soothe and tolerate discomfort.
Right.
Right?
Right, exactly.
If you can't soothe yourself, and you keep looking for your partner to soothe you, one thing about that is that if you keep doing that, they're going to distrust you and not respect you.
Right. Right.
Okay. Yeah. They will not respect you because you are a child.
Yes.
You are being immature, and you're not doing the things that it takes in order to grow that part of yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability to learn to self-soothe and soothe yourself down is huge. The ability to tolerate the discomfort of growing up and being in a committed relationship is huge.
Oh, it is
being,
so true.
Being able to maintain a clear sense of yourself while you're going through that stuff at the same time that you're connected to somebody that's important to you is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to know when to take a step back and know that what you're about to do or what you're doing is not productive. But at the same time, also knowing when to also come back. See, a lot of us are good at saying, I'm done, and walking away. We're not so good at then saying, okay, after I'm doing my self-soothing, as I'm doing the things that I need to do in order to move through this and put things in a perspective, now how do I soothe myself enough to be able to come back and bring it back up? See, that's a skill set. That's the anchor.
Right.
You have to learn. You have to be able to do that in order for your relationship to begin to move in ways that will allow you both to grow right? And yep. so when it comes to the anchors, those are the most salient pieces to the anchor, is being able to do those pieces in real time. And you do it, you develop these skills by actually trying to do it at the beginning and making a mistake.
Yeah.
See, most, we don't want to make mistakes. And what I always tell couples is, calm down.
Yeah.
You know, I even have to say this to myself.
Right.
Calm down and make the move. And a lot of times what happens is, the reason why most of us can't make the move, it has less to do with our partner and more to do with the fact that we can't soothe ourselves down when we make the move and our partner gives us some type of attitude that we, or reflection of ourselves that we don't believe we deserve. And then we can't hold on to ourselves long enough to be able to tolerate that and continue to move forward.
Yes.
Most of us will just say, well, I'm just going to leave it alone because it ain't going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
And without realizing that, it's just going to come back. So
yes.
The anchors are really about, how do you learn to soothe yourself in the context of going through conflict with your partner and hold on to yourself, so as you move forward over time, your partner can learn either to develop respect for you because they see you taking yourself on.
Yep.
See, that's when we begin to learn and love more. So people become more married.
Yes.
To each other when they see their partner taking themselves on
right.
in ways that they never could. And
right.
all of a sudden you look at your partner and they're able to do something and mm-hmm. you go, whoa, where did that come from?
Right, right.
We've been doing this for I've been married to this person for 30 years and they ain't been able to do that. And they're able to do that now.
Right.
Now I need to either raise my game, right, as that partner, or get out of the relationship. And nothing's going wrong when that happens.
Yep.
When my partner stands up or I stand up, it forces me or my partner to grow because the game has changed.
Right, right. It sure has. You got it, Resma.
So those are the anchors.
Those are some great points. I love that, guys. We have another quick email, and we only have about 5 minutes left, but I just thought I'd throw this out there for maybe a quick kind of help. This is a heavy question. It's heavy.
Okay.
So this one's all yours, Resma.
All right, let's do it.
I put it on you right now. This is from Rod. It says, we haven't had sex in 6 months. My wife and I have been married for 5 years. She uses sex, I think, to manipulate me whenever we get into fights. The more time that goes on, I'm not feeling like having sex with her. And actually, I'm feeling like less of a man. I'm not a player, but how can I improve our relationship and feel better about having sex with her?
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So I hear this one all the time.
No.
All relationships have to go through this. My relationship has had to go through this. There are people in my family's relationship. People have to go. This is more normal
mm-hmm.
than not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And so one of the things that happens in terms of sex in relationships is that many times people stop having sex for very good reasons. And it's usually because the person that you're having sex with is not worth having sex with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
And I don't mean in terms of the mechanics of it,
penis,
but
right.
I don't mean that
right,
type
right.
of stuff. I mean that nobody wants to have sex with somebody who they don't see as being able to grow up.
Right.
Nobody, over time,
right.
people stop having sex because the person that they're having sex with is immature
mm-hmm.
and refuses to take themselves on and grow up.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, what my man just said is that he feels like one of the things that his wife is doing is immature. That's
right.
an immature thing she's doing, right?
Right. Sure.
And so what we have a tendency to do with that is over time, when we keep coming to our partner saying, I'm seeing this, and our partner refuses to take themselves on,
sure.
We go, well, we just put our hands up and we don't come back to it.
Right.
And what I say about the conflict is that, no, that you can't back off a little bit, but that is an important thing to fight about.
Yes,
right?
It is.
In terms of when sex happens,
mm-hmm.
how it happens. Here's
right.
the other thing. He might be having sex with her and not even realize that she's not in the room.
Right.
She's not actually present.
Uh-oh.
And he's continuing to have sex with her.
Right.
Which makes her not respect him.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So the fact is that even though that they're not having sex, the fact is that these are both the calls to grow up
right.
and
right.
and what's being presented is each other's limitations. Her
yes.
limitation is being presented right now and
right.
on the table, and his limitation is being presented and on the table. And this is one of these fights that they're going to have.
That's
they
right.
They need to have it, and they may need to have a therapist to bring in to help them work through it.
Right,
but
right.
But there's nothing going wrong.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
Yes, exactly, Ron. And thank you so much, Ron, for emailing us here on The Couch with Dr. Michelle. We're going to have to scoot real soon. We got about a minute left here, but Rezma, you're an amazing guest. Thank you so much for being here on The Couch. Really good stuff.
Thank you.
I know
Thank
a lot
you.
Of people.
This went fast, man. I had a ball
Didn't
with you
it?
Today.
Cool.
Thank you.
I know. Me too. We're having a good time here. You got to come back yeah. on the show again soon, really.
Hey, all you got to do is invite me.
You got
and,
it.
Just so people know, if they want to know more
yes.
about the book, they can go to Rezma Rocks, R-E-S-M-A-A, rocks.com.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of the questions that people have,
mm-hmm.
the answers of it are in the book. So
they
I'm encouraging
sure
people to pick it up.
They sure are, Rezma. They sure are. It's a great book, helpful for couples. And again, I'll have that up on the archive so everybody can check it out and get your book. And of course, replay or download the show. That'll be all up here on LA Talk Radio tomorrow. So, Rezma, thank you. Awesome.
Thank you.
You're great.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care now. All right. Again, I'll have everything up here on LA Talk Radio in the archives on my show, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Just go onto my webpage here and click on it and download it. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, then you'll be great for other people. And that's the way it works in the world. Next week, wow, more relationship stuff. We're going to really help you. This is a phenomenal other point of view, too, besides how conflict can deepen your relationships. You're going to love this one, and it will help you as well. All right, take care. Have a good week. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. Bye-bye. Yeah.